Here we go. 2 hours. Just us. And a couple of guests.
No, just one guy.
Just one today.
Just one.
A lot of me, a lot of you, a lot of Sam.
We are the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, in for Jen Rolnick, James Wilson.
Jamie Willie.
Wilson!
So, last night, I went to the Dundas Legion to sign up for my softball league, which it's like a get-together for everybody in the league. You all see each other, and it was before puck drop or whatever. So, I went there for a half hour to an hour, watched the first period there. Boys got lots of fans at the Legion.
At the Legion?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, you have a couple of Labatt Blues or what?
I had a couple blue lights. Tell the bosses. Had a couple blue lights before Leafs talk. So.
Wow.
And people kept coming up to me. I love that show. You guys are so great. Kipper, you know, you did such a great job. Everybody at the Legion loves the show. So we're a big Legion show. So shout out the Legion.
Buddy, love the Legion.
Are they as big of a fan as Furco yesterday?
Oh, and his lovely Furco and Nelly.
His wife. Thanks to Ivanka, Osmak brought them in. And not only did they come in and tell us they're big fans, we left with like a package from them. Like all these Dutch treats were like off the charts.
From the Netherlands. You go through that pack?
Oh my God, the chocolate?
I know.
Toffee it's like, chocolate.
It's like a soft Toblerone.
And I'm supposed to be off sugar.
How's that going for you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting ready for the playoffs, man.
Oh, that's why you wouldn't take one of the Timbits that I was offering.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. So,
well, whether you're the Legion or Furco, we're glad you're aboard for the next 2 hours on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, wherever you're watching, listening, Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6 p.m. And when you don't get us live, download us wherever you get your pods. And as we close into the week, a few more texts, keep sending them. So what's the deal, Sammy, when it comes to texts? Because we tell people to text. And then you, at some point later on the show, you get overwhelmed and you get all these ones coming in too quick and you can't catch up. So what do we need to tell everybody?
I need access.
No,
we all need access.
You guys don't want access.
We have great texts, but they don't get to us because... You're slow.
He's the gatekeeper.
I am the gatekeeper, but listen, you don't want to hear a lot of it.
Really? Are they ripping us?
Not as complimentary.
Sometimes there's been known to be a couple.
You're holding out on us.
The only thing that
we can take it
that really gets to the text line is when Jen or Jimmy Willie, whoever's running up there, puts up the graphic that says "text us."
Yeah.
And we're in the national hour, and the Leafs happen to come up in the national hour. They start
Are
flying
they not
in from
a team in the National League.
You know what's 780 is Vancouver area code starts flying in. Edmonton area code starts flying in.
604.
Yeah,
50s.
Well, I'm smart enough.
780s. BC as well.
Is Edmonton or I don't know.
I'm smart. I'm smart enough in our national hour to avoid the Leaf talk. But Sammy, you just keep driving us right back into the ditch.
I am who I am, man.
That's okay.
We don't want you to be anyone but that.
Well, you've got the first full hour. Leaf edition.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto Maple Leafs lose 6-3 to the New Jersey Devils. But we're going to focus in the next hour just on the first period and how great the analytics were. JB, you go first.
I don't think that's what's happening. I don't think that's what anyone wants to do.
Hold on.
Disappointing after a 25 or 26 shot first period.
Does it really matter?
I mean,
seriously,
no,
does it really matter?
No. Doesn't matter which.
25 shots and the dominating.
But it does matter for me in terms of how it shaped the game. Would you like to know how?
I would love it.
I have a couple theories about the Toronto Maple Leafs, as you know, and you hear them often. One of them are that when the Leafs think it's going to be easy, they're dog poop. And I think a 26-shot period when you go in, down or not, you could be, forgiven for thinking it might be easy. So that's thought number one. The other thing with the Leafs is that when they have a lot of shots and pucks don't go in, they get frustrated and they cheat. And this has gone back to Columbus in playoffs, Montreal in playoffs. They leave themselves open to quick strikes against because they push and they push and it's not going in. They get offensively obsessed. And then the puck goes the other way. So it was the worst case scenario for them. Thought it was going to be easy. Got frustrated. Nobody played any defense. That's been Real Kipper and Bourne. Thank you for your time. We'll see you tomorrow.
How are you feeling if you're a Devils fan watching what Jake Allen did? Can we have got him a month and a half earlier?
What did not having Allen cost them this year? 10 points?
They needed league average goaltending.
So we'll get to them. Just take it easy over there.
Sorry.
Okay. I got to go back to my guy here. Mm. What is that line in the movie? Yeah, you had me at hello.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You lost me at when they think it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
I'm done after that. All I need to hear are those words from you, and this team is doomed. If you ever have that in your head right now, mm-hmm. you're done.
Done.
You're done. Like, at what point did you ever think anything's easy anywhere, anytime, any place?
Life is very hard.
Whether you're playing the New Jersey Devils or you're getting ready to play Florida or Boston, where after 6 or 7 years, some of these leaders on this club would ever come in and think at any point it was going to be easy?
At the very least, you could see them thinking it would be offensively easy. You know, they are, I think they're third in the NHL in goals for per game, something like that right now. And they had the puck the whole first period. They had the puck, and they got tons of touches, and it must have just felt like, this is a blast. I'm having a great time out here. And that's not a great mindset for an NHL hockey game against Jack Hughes and Timo Meier and Luke Hughes and the rest of very good players.
Sheldon. We're going to get to Kipper's Clippers, which are probably going to star our whole show. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he had some choice words last night that there's nothing that we can say in the next hour will trump that.
No. I have run into a number of people today who've been like, what's up with Keefe right now? Like, what's going on with him? Is he losing it or what? You know, like.
I think he's looking at less than a dozen games right now. He's not liking what he sees. And he knows where this is heading if this thing does not get straightened out.
To the guillotine, and then for him after that too?
Why wouldn't you think that?
He could be looking at 19 more games coaching the Leafs. They have 12 left?
11 left,
11,
I think.
Yeah.
And then, you know, who?
Seven in the first round?
Yeah.
Last night, he looked across his bench, and he saw a coach that replaced a coach who just signed a new extension before the season. And Lindy had just signed an extension, and Lindy is no longer there.
I mean, Daryl Sutter's another recent example. It's not... This isn't us saying, like, he should get, but you would see how he could think.
No,
you asked me
like, what's going on with him?
Yes.
How is that not in the back of his mind that...
We need this together.
Like, if this thing does not come together soon here, and we have a very good showing in the playoffs, my ass is on the line here. How can he not feel that?
I'm sure he does. I'm sure in his heart of hearts, that's part of what he's coaching for every day, is to hang on to that job. Is the one you want to have. It's an Ontario boy.
You want to go to Sheldon or you got any?
Let's go to clip one.
Oh, boy.
Overview of the game.
You know, instead of having a strong period and building on it and continuing to do the things that we had done well, I thought we just overdid it. It was just really immature all the way through our game. I thought it was immature from our most experienced players and our leaders. And then our players who are immature, are inexperienced guys. I mean, we made lots of mistakes here today. First period, Bobby McMahon gives up a 2-on-1, doesn't do his job there. And Holmberg Nyzy get caught on one goal. Our fourth line with Kampfer out there, like our third and fourth line, give up goals in the second period. So top and bottom in the second period, just, you know, not good enough. And you're playing against a team that's among the most dangerous teams in the NHL offensively. And they want to play the game like that in terms of countering and getting behind you. Jack Hughes gets 2 breakaways. You're not winning the game if that's going to be the case. So hated lots about our game tonight. And hopefully the players hate it just as much or more than I do.
Hate. You watched some video clips in that coach's room and got fired up before he did that interview. I would bet money on it.
I don't know what is being said, for instance, in between the second and third period. Like, are you...
Poach? No one's saying that.
Are you ripping them? Are you laying into them? Or can you see it before, after the game? We had heard the post-game comments also from Austin Matthews. He also used the word immature.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the first. Like, I listened,
that's Pee-wee stuff.
I listened to Matthews in the effort to get something to play today, because I always listen through all the stuff, and I couldn't even cut it. It's just, it's the same tone. It's like, you see the quotes, but to hear the tone,
well,
it's the exact same tone it always
he
is.
He would never use the word immature unless Sheldon used it first. So
bingo.
Correct.
So the question is, does Sheldon use it at any point before the game, during the game, or is it heard after the game? Because to me, that's a big difference. It's too late. It's too late to turn it around. And coaches will do some things to try to save a game or to turn a game around. It could come from, you know, a temper tantrum either on the bench from Paul Maurice last March. Mm-hmm. It could come in between periods. Trays have been poured over, from Gatorades to chairs thrown to punching a chalkboard. There's many ways to try to get the attention of your players.
Are those all just Keenan?
While there's still a chance to turn something around. I just don't know whether or not you want to save the word immature for your post-game comments after the game's over, so just a guy like Austin can just rip it off and use it himself.
I just don't know, right? Like, we don't know.
Don't know. But I'm telling you, it looks like the things aren't said until it's over.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe. I don't think that Sheldon went in there after two and went, keep it up. You know, like, that's not the vibe, I wouldn't think. I don't know what he would have said, but it certainly didn't turn anything, because that third period was more.
It just seems like we've seen nights like this during the regular season. They can't nip it in the bud.
No.
Well, I mean, going back to what I was talking about yesterday, it's like, how do you convince these guys, the top guys, the immature guys that he's saying that, or sorry, the guys that he was saying played immature, how do you convince them that the exact same situation that they've been in for 5 years at the end of the season, where they're cruising to the finish line, is any different than the last 5 years?
Yeah.
How do you go in there and look at them all, where they all know what the stakes are? They all know they're just in cruise control to the playoffs. And I know that shouldn't be the way. And I know they should be ramping it back up, but it's human nature. Like, it's, you're going to have these duds.
See, I disagree with you. It's not human nature.
If
you told me right now they sat at the top of the Eastern Conference,
yeah,
then I would be more to believe you that it's human nature.
Yeah.
They're going to pick up the last wild card spot here.
It doesn't matter who they play.
No. The sense of urgency should be that we aren't as good of a team as we were last year, the year before. We've regressed. We all sat here in September and said, and I'm the first to admit it, teams should win the Atlantic Division. They're as good, or they should be better than the Boston Bruins. They just lost their captain. They just lost a great two-way centerman in Krejci. Like, this is shaped up for the Leafs to win the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. They're not close to Boston and Florida right now. Where is the sense of we're okay, Sammy? Where is it that they should feel like we got nothing to play for here and we're in a comfort zone?
It's not that they have nothing to play for. I just think that they know they're making the playoffs. They're going into this stretch here where they're playing. I guess those two games they have, or they have the games against Florida, so those are ones that they can get up for. But they're looking at the rest of the schedule. They know it's a slog. They're making the playoffs. They don't care who they play. It's all the same to them. Like, oh, we're going to play Boston. Great. We're going to play Florida. They have ghosts against everyone. Like, there's no team that they, like, own. Everyone wants to play them. Like, I don't know how Keefe's message can get through to these guys that they're immature when it's just been the same group doing the same thing for the 5 years. Like, I don't understand how it can be any different.
Yeah.
It's the same thing over and over every year. Cruise control, last 20 games.
Do you think last night would have been, and I'm not sure where I sit on his comments on John Tavares, but I think he called him out, but he didn't really call him out.
He called him out, you think?
We have it. Yeah. Clip 4?
Okay, let's go to it.
John Tavares has been the example for us. He's been outstanding for us for a long period of time. He himself got carried away tonight. That's our captain. So if that's going to happen, well, like then like the rest of our benches now, we're just making it up as we go. When you do that, you open the door for the opposition to have a good night. And they did that. And I thought, you know, the last goal at the end of the third period there, that's indicative of our second and third periods.
Okay, yeah. I heard it much clearer here. But
you got carried away.
He gave him a compliment with been outstanding, but I'm going to use you as the example here, and
yeah.
I'll go to the top with my captain. Should he have just stopped at Tavares? Could he have not pulled in Austin Matthews, well, who I thought
he was asked about Matthews and Nylander. He was asked about those guys, and then he brought them up.
Yeah,
he brought him up when he was asked about those guys. So he's very good to Tavares. In the media, like, I really find that he's very good to him. And I was racking my brain after the game last night, trying to think of any other time he's ever called him out like this specifically. Like, he said, oh, he needs to get going. But to really say that, he's searching, boys. Like, I feel like he's really,
but
he's pulling the emergency levers right now.
But last night, the disappointment in his leadership group, and Morgan wasn't there, and no question that had a different look to the Toronto Maple Leafs, a guy that can't skate. They didn't have too many guys that could skate a puck out of the zone last night.
No.
Or break a puck out of the zone.
Right.
But, like, Austin Matthews was a giveaway machine last night. Yeah. I've never seen him give up the puck so much last night. And I don't even know what the final, I don't know what the official word was on his giveaways, but if they were under half a dozen, mm-hmm. That would have been generous by the scorekeeper.
It looked like a team playing for stats, playing for offense, just looking to have a 7-6 night and outscore a team they seemed to think was not as good as them, which, you know, they got their kick teeth in for. But you saw, like, where's F3? He actually called out McMahon specifically, a don't get too big for your britches here. If you want to start playing up the lineup, we need you to, you know, cover when a guy pinches. And, you know, you give up these kind of quick strike opportunities. That 2-on-1 goal is a three-quarter length of the rink goal with two very good goal scorers.
You know how I feel about the Leafs over the last few years with their untimely pinches and late period pinches.
Yeah.
Unless you're 100% sure, you don't go. That was Jake McCabe.
But, I mean, he's got a guy that's supposed to fold under, and he has to trust that guy's going to do that so he can play aggressively.
That's his game. If he's not doing that, then...
What? Like, then what? You just stay back and play the percentages.
Yeah, but that's part of what makes Jake McCabe Jake McCabe.
No,
I get your point with him.
It's what makes the Toronto Maple Leafs the Toronto Maple Leafs, too.
Absolutely. Okay?
Because I'm watching, to your point earlier, and you said this, just want to trade chances here. You just want to go and get the next goal and not really deal with what's left behind you if you don't get the goal.
Right.
And that's, to me, is just what I've been watching from the Leafs the last 2 years. It's the mentality of, we're going to trade chances. And I got no problem with that. And if we don't score with this aggressive play... Mm-hmm. Well, let's just worry about what happens defensively later.
Well, that's like the Domi goal that makes it 5-3. They're down a goal in a game where he throws a complete Galchenyuk pizza through the gut. And you're like, ugh. You know, like, okay, we're getting it out in the regular season. We're definitely not going to do that in 3 weeks, right?
So just to finish up the conversation on Tavares.
Yeah.
He was asked about it again this morning. at Morning Skate where he addressed it again, so we can play that clip and kind of finish off that combo.
I brought John up yesterday, as I did in the room with the team, because he's our leader and he's got to set the tone for our group. And so sometimes it's part of his play. Sometimes it's as the captain to help bring the group back when they're slipping, when others are slipping. And I just really added him to the list of our best players from last night. And
so there you go. He used him as an example in the room. He used him as an example in the media.
It's fine,
interesting
but
they used him in the room.
Can John grab anybody in that room by the collar and go, we need better out of you?
Well, not when he's the guy getting called out. Certainly not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, really.
Do they have anybody out there in that room that can grab, rattle the chain a little bit here?
Do you think so?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Okay. I don't.
And how much of a problem is that, not having that?
Well, it's been a problem the last few years, I think, when the chips are down.
I guess let me ask you, is last night to you indicative of the type of team they are? Does it tell you something about their odds of winning in playoffs? Or is that to you a team that sometimes plays these games and just takes nights off, which, you know, maybe that shows up in playoffs, but you think not?
I wish they had the track record that suggests that you're right, that they just pick their spots right now.
But I'm not making that suggestion.
They don't. I wish they had a better track record of winning when the chips are down.
Yeah.
And they don't. And that's the worrisome right now is that when it gets really tough or gets really hard, they're just every man for himself.
You know, you think of some of the best games the Leafs have played. When they lost to Tampa, was it in game 7 that they lost? Was it at home?
All of them are 7.
Yeah. Well, no, they won in 6 last year.
Oh, no, the losses, all 7.
Yeah, losses, all 7. Like, there are games like that where, like, they played a good hockey game against that Tampa Bay team. They lost 2-1. Tavares gets one called back on the Justin Hall pick.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, don't you?
Don't recall.
You know, there are these games where you're like, they can play in these big moments and big stakes and big whatever. But I know what you mean, Kip, where it's like they can't do it every time.
There's that world famous hockey cliche. Mm-hmm. Do you know which one it is?
Well, about
pucks
to find out.
Pucks in deep.
No.
Give it 110%.
No.
Good, feel good, play good.
No.
You just got to do the right thing, be a good pro. I don't know. What is it?
Close. Just play the right way.
Oh, yes.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And
they've never been that.
We've all been around the game. We can have a sense when you feel like a team is playing the right way, which means being on the right side of the puck defensively.
Yeah.
That if it doesn't work out a certain way, it's okay. I'm covered. I'm covering your back. Like you can see that during a hockey game.
For sure.
You don't get the sense of that. Especially last night in the second and the third, that they are willing when the chips backs against the wall, whatever cliche you want to use on that one, that they have the ability to play the right way.
We do have the quote from Keith on, do you look at it as a one-off, which I didn't even realize and asked that very question of you. So let's hear what Sheldon has to say.
Look at it as a one-off? Or
well, it has happened a lot for our group over the years. And I'm talking about the experienced people, and that came back tonight. And I thought the game invited it, right? It's 25 shots. If everybody's feeling great, you got lots of puck touches, you think it's going to happen again, and you're going to stay with it. I don't know if anybody's ever got 75 shots in a game before, but I don't think it happens. Usually things adjust, and the opposition, you know, pushes back. The game kind of tidies up a little bit, but I just thought we got incredibly sloppy and careless, and That's disappointing, but to your...
That's not a one-off.
No.
The Onus on Attack had 73 shots in a game once.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
Petrus Palmi was had 20.
Regular OT?
No, regulation.
Wow.
In a playoff game. So there you go. Like, it can't happen. I think the biggest worry is that, you know, even within these playoff series that you're talking about, Borny, where they've had great performances and they've played well in big games.
For sure.
Even within those series, they've had awful ones.
Last year they win the series, and they were they lose 7-2 game one or something?
Yeah, I remember game five, was it 2 years ago, where they were up going down there, and they lost. Like, my, I remember because my cousin went to the game, and he went as like a, he's a, my cousin, he's a Floridian, but he was wearing a Leafs shirt, and he took it off and left because they were losing like 5-0 after the first or second period. Like, they do lay eggs within these series, and it's kind of like a microcosm of the regular season where it's like, I don't know.
We think it matters.
I don't know.
There is a sense for me that, like, they love their goals.
Sure.
And they're willing to take chances on their goals.
Yeah. And you need them to. But anyway, carry on.
You do, but last night again, I'm watching and Austin scores his 59th and Willie gets his 40th. I mean, huge accomplishment. For sure, get all of that. But they are typical goals for them where Austin's got to make a great play at the blue line, turn around in a fairly...
All three goals are stretch goals.
They're stretch goals, but they're individual effort goals. Yeah. They're like, get me the puck and I'll do the rest goals. And even Willie's on his 40th, he comes through the neutral zone... I don't know if you saw that interview with Willie, and it's like, yeah, Timmins made a great play. Passed me the puck.
Yeah. <That's>,
he's also pissed off at McMahon for not passing him the puck.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's like, you just pass me the puck, and I'll do the rest. Mm-hmm. And I'll go in there, and I'll dance, and I'll weave, and I'll shoot it in the net, and everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay on occasion during the regular season, but those type of goals don't really kind of... look consistent in the playoffs.
It was the worst of their worst tendencies, you know, like where it is a lot of hope passes. Well, if I throw this in front of that and one of our guys is there, it's going to be a goal. Oh, you know, it's their team. A lot of throwing the puck away, not a whole lot of ragging it, maintaining pressure. And to your point, individual efforts and all that. So,
but it's not really an inclusive goal. Like, they're not snapping it around. I'm watching again. McKinnon and Rantanen, and it's on Rantanen's stick for all but 2 seconds, and it's on McKinnon's boom in the net, and it's like snapping it around, looking great. Everybody's in.
Then they lost 2-1 to the Habs. What the hell happened there?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, for me, the criticism last night is not their offense was poor. That I just don't think that's a takeaway for me. Their offense, you know, they get 3, they get 45 shots. To me, it's...
That's the end result, but... The offense is a problem because it leads to poor defense.
If that's the case, then sure, it's a good point. You know, because that is the end result, is that they give up so many this way with no one considering it. Like, it's not even a thought. It's not even a thought during the play that, like, if this doesn't work out, what happens, what becomes of what's next? I do want to hear, is clip 9 worth hearing now about the timing of the dip? Are we concerned with this timing? Because it is 11 games till playoffs now.
Yep.
Your clip 9.
You play 82 games. You're going to get a little bit of something all the time. Yeah, the time of the year, but I hope we don't have these dips. But as I mentioned, it's not common. You go play a game, you get 25 shots on goal, and you're feeling great, and everything's going. And it might have been one of our best periods of the season offensively. Everybody's feeling it, and everybody thinks they're going to have a great night, and then it starts to get away on you. It's different. It's not normal. That wasn't the NHL in the first period yesterday, right? Like, that doesn't happen all the time. So it's a different night, and then you consider who we have out of the lineup in terms of their leadership and abilities and all those kind of things. And there's a bit of the recipe for some of those things to happen. Third game in 4 nights, all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to bring it up to their attention, let them know we're not happy about it, and you're trying to make sure it doesn't happen again. And based on the way our group has been over the last couple of months, I'm expecting that it won't, and we press on.
It is quite remarkable that you can look tight on a Saturday night. Got off to an amazing start against Edmonton, put the game away, and have a feel like they're building towards a playoff series.
Weird.
And then you go to Tuesday, and it's shinny hockey, Tuesday night at Chesswood Arena.
It is interesting that he noted, you look at the guys you have out, and he's talking about Marner, Riley, Edmondson, who, I don't know if you count Edmondson in that group yet, but as like
Young a... Croc.
Yarncroc, like older veteran guys who do it the right way, have, you know, somewhat defensively responsible, depending how you feel about Riley. He at least thinks about that kind of game. You know, I wonder how much of this is a little bit like the Leafs didn't have their parents in the lineup. You know, they didn't have the supervision of Morgan and those guys, but I don't know. He seemed to make note of it. I think that's interesting that he felt that affected them in some way. I mean, so no practice today, though.
But they were going to have a practice, and then they turned it into a skill session at the last minute. So if you are
what does that mean, skill session? Like they invited the fans, and then they measured how hard their shot is?
Yeah.
Why don't we listen to clip 10 to hear about it?
Okay.
A couple things. We were mindful of the fact we just played 3 games in 4 nights, but quite frankly, we had a few players that I expected to be available for practice today that played last night that were not available to practice today. So all of a sudden, our numbers were real light. And many of the things I wanted to do today were not going to be possible with less people. So I felt if it was going to be more of a flowing type practice, then we can do that tomorrow morning and capitalize on the rest here today.
Well, who's hurt?
Don't they play tomorrow?
They do. It is interesting.
Turning a morning warm-up skate into a practice. I'm okay with it. If that's what he wants.
That time of year.
I'm okay with it.
To say that you don't have enough guys to do what you want to do means he wants to do 5-on-5 stuff, which probably means he's talking about rotations and stuff like that, which clearly were an issue last night.
Okay, we want to take a break or we want to...
We'll take a break and then maybe we'll talk about Marner, some goaltending.
Joseph Woll we'll get into. Ugh. Plenty more to dissect off of not a good game by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Loser 6-3 to the New Jersey Devils.
The show is better when you lose.
We're only warming up here. Don't go away.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee in our Leaf edition of The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Joseph Woll. First goal, first shot. Mm. I think my alumni brother, Mike Johnson, mentioned could have dipped a little bit, knuckleball. But
he called it a sinker.
I'm not buying that.
I believe him that it's.
Oh, I believe him too, but.
Doesn't mean you shouldn't save it.
Stop the puck.
He got to hit sinkers in Major League Baseball too.
Should have sunk right under his blocker. Yeah.
But this is an opportunity here where Samsonov leaves Saturday night, leaves the week open for Joseph Woll to pick up some momentum.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on him last night?
Well, you're right. I think that the door was wide open. Everyone was very excited about how he played in his last start. And I think there was already that push for, oh, he's quieter, he's calmer, he's looking like himself again.
Yeah.
And this was like, okay, go do it again. So, yeah, disappointing that the first one goes in, to say the very least. And then, he ended with his lowest save percentage of his career in an NHL game, 780-something or other. So, yeah, not good. I mean, a little concerned for sure. It's an unscreened shot to kick it off. So it doesn't like write him off or anything for me, but tough night.
And he's getting the start again Thursday.
He is?
He is.
Samsonov's still not right, huh?
Well, he said that he's going to, I guess, get him.
Well, they're not practicing, right? So,
He was in pads or whatever today. That's what they said. But, like, he's not playing tomorrow. Wolves going to go, but last night, the inconsistency since he's come back from the injury, the up and down nature of it concerns me because that wasn't the MO before the injury.
No.
Where the MO before the injury was that he's just solid, you know, he's not flashy, but he's not going to be letting in the number of goals that he's letting in. And it's just, it hasn't looked pretty.
Yeah.
And I am concerned about it.
Yeah. I just want to say the 2-on-1 goal that Hischier, the offhand one-timer, you know how hard that shot is to hit as perfectly as he did? That's a beautiful shot. That's all I'm saying.
And a great move by Jack Hughes to go back in.
I hate that one. It's the only place he can go there.
What?
I hate that one.
Oh, yeah.
just one thing on the knuckleball from Luke Hughes, too. Yeah. is, I'm sorry, but he can also back in up until the tops of the circle. I think it was Labushkin either.
Yeah.
Right? It's not an odd man rush.
For a guy who's pretty good at keeping gaps.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah. So,
should we listen to the coach?
On Joseph Woll?
Yeah, let's do it right after the game, clip three. We'll start there.
We can't let in the first shot of the game, but, you know, that's two in a row now. But the chances we gave up tonight are egregious. There's lots of issues in front of them.
Okay. Yeah. So then there's another clip in there from today, him talking about him getting the start here. So go clip seven there, Derek.
Yeah, I think it's a good chance for him, you know, right now to get back in there. And you know, I thought he had a really strong game, as we had talked about, in Carolina, and then not as strong yesterday, like the group in front of him, which the group in front of him made life much harder on him. But, yeah, it's a good chance to get back in there, you know, both in what happened last night and also just, you know, with Samsonov, you know, on a bit of a pause here, it gives Joe a chance to get his workload up.
All right.
On a bit of a pause.
A bit of a pause here.
He hasn't got a clue.
No.
Who his number one goalie will be.
You can't tell
in
me.
April.
You're not thinking about the Amazon series either right now, where going into playoffs, they're looking out at the ice going, is Freddie on the ice? Can Freddie play? Is Freddie, he's in a tracksuit. What does that mean? Where you're just like, can we just have a goalie going into playoffs?
I mean, I don't know, want to belabor the point, yeah. But if you got two.
You don't got one.
You don't got one.
Is that bad English? Felt like bad English.
Like, I mean, there's the quarterback thing. You got two, you don't got one.
Yeah.
You got two goalies. You're, like, he has no idea. You're right. Exactly.
11 games left. Don't know who the Leaf starter is in playoffs. Otherwise, things are fine.
Don't have one line combination. Don't have one D pairing you trust. But other than that.
So, Washington tomorrow night.
Red hot.
Buffalo Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just a split at this point?
A split? You need two wins.
No, I'm saying Woll tomorrow night, Samsonov Saturday night, and you go from there.
Yeah, we're not going from anywhere. We're not going from anywhere. We're going to get to game 80, and you're going to look at the last two, which is Florida-Tampa back-to-back in the state of Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And you'll decide, is it going to be Martin Jones, or does someone need to play? Are we still making a decision right up to the end here?
I don't know.
No. No one does. I don't even blame him. What more could you do? Like, what would a different coach have done with these two guys the way they've played this year?
Nothing. And then game one starts, and from the rafters comes Matt Murray.
Dun-dun-dun-dun!
My God!
6'4", two-time Stanley Cup champion!
So, despite losing last night, the Leafs are viewed as a top 10 team in the league.
They're right? Definitely on the fringe of
okay.
that.
10, yeah. 11.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, all but year top 10. I've said that.
Top 10.
Yeah.
Is there anyone in the top 10 that has a bigger question mark in net above them than the Toronto Maple Leafs?
In the league, the Toronto Maple Leafs by points
Carolina?
Percentage are 11th by points percentage in the league.
They've been the 11th best team.
All right.
Wow.
So okay, Carolina, Freddie Anderson.
If he's healthy,
he's it.
He plays.
I agree with him.
If Freddie Anderson is on the Toronto Maple Leafs and they have Woll and Samsonov too, who starts game one?
Well, Freddie Anderson.
Yeah.
Probably lets in three cheapies, but he starts.
Nashville, no question.
Yeah.
Edmonton, no question.
Yeah,
but Skinner, I mean, all day long.
Yeah, well, Skinner. But no, Skinner,
it's not a great option.
No, I don't care what happens
saying,
after
who,
game one.
Know?
I'm not saying who's going to be great. I'm just saying who knows.
Yeah,
no questions asked with 10 games to go.
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg,
yeah.
No questions asked. Florida, no questions asked. Colorado, no questions asked. Boston, Swayman, no questions asked, with Ullmark right there to pick up anything.
Is Ottinger going to play himself out of chaos here?
Ottinger is Dallas's guy. Go big or go home.
Mm-hmm.
And Shesterkin.
And Demko when he gets healthy.
But Demko went on Vancouver.
He went on LTIR today.
Yeah. And Demko.
Yeah.
So they're it. The Leafs are really the only.
I mean, it's super uncommon. Kip, we could do this any year. I can't ever remember a playoff-bound team not knowing who their guy is.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, Vegas.
Last year, kind of with the Bruins, too, between Allmark and Swayman.
That was because they had two Vezina candidates. Yeah. They won the Jennings.
Yeah.
It's Swayman.
Yeah, but last year
it was Allmark.
Yeah. And didn't they start Swayman game
six
7?
They went six with Allmark when they probably should have made a pivot.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an issue.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm looking at the standings here. I have them in front of me. I don't know if Jimmy Willie is going to pull them up there for us. But the Leafs now are 4 points clear on Tampa. Tampa, they've played, I think they played the same amount of games.
And they play head-to-head twice.
Yeah.
And Tampa has the tiebreaker, meaning it is within the Lightning's hands now.
So does it matter to you? Are you not trying to lose, clearly, but like, do you want to be ahead of Tampa? Like, if Tampa goes by you, is it the worst thing in the world?
I think it's such a dangerous conversation you're having if you want to have that leak into the Leaf management.
Well, listen, they don't listen to this show.
No.
But I'm talking to you guys.
Well, what I'm telling you is I don't care. They play like they did last night. They will lose to Florida, Tampa Bay, Boston, take your pick.
Can I tell
it
you?
It won't matter.
The worst sports argument that people make, which I absolutely loathe, it doesn't matter who you play. It doesn't. You got to beat whoever. You got to beat the best to be the best. Mm. It matters who you play a great deal. I remember that for years people have said with the Leafs.
But it's not more important than how you're playing. It's
definitely not more important. You're right. How you're playing is the first most important
thing.
That's the top
of the priority list.
Yes.
Not looking at the standings like Sammy and trying to
play for the team.
That's exactly it. They shouldn't do it.
I'm a fan of the team. And to me, the Rangers, the first team, by the way, to clinch a playoff spot. So I guess you're still going to end up with Boston or Florida, right? Is that how it works?
No, I mean, the
first
wild
overall,
card one, as in the better of the two, will play the worst division winner.
Yes.
So great.
As of today, that would be Boston. Correct.
You can't escape it.
Wild card two, yeah.
But I just don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to go to just a different division.
Metro. Yeah, but that was Columbus. That was Montreal.
No, it wasn't. No, Montreal's in the division. It's not that. It's just do something different. Don't go into Boston. Don't go into Florida. Don't go into Tampa. Try something else, maybe. I'm searching here, boys.
Yeah.
I want to be able to go outside with shorts and a Leafs shirt on. You know, I don't want it to be over by the end of April.
Please win.
Yeah.
Florida. Let's go. Leafs, Florida.
TJ Brody last night. Mm. Is there a chance that this guy can get back a little bit of what he had prior to all this talk about what's wrong with him?
Yeah, there's a chance. I wrote today about their penalty kill. It's up on sportsnet.ca and about how, you know, the main pieces of what has been a successful penalty kill for them in previous seasons are there. Their top three penalty killing forwards last year when they were 12th was Marner, Kampf, and Yarncroc. We're still here. TJ Brody's their top penalty killing ice time guy. Justin Hall was in there as well. But, you know, this guy is a huge piece of that, Kip. And it's part of the reason why their PK has stunk, because he hasn't been very good there either. So he's an important piece of development for them. It's like they're going to count on him. Giordano blocked a lot of shots over the years on the PK for them, and he's not there anymore. So
Justin Hall blocked a lot of shots for them, and he ain't there anymore.
Did they mention anything on Morgan Rielly today?
They did. There's two updates, one on Marner and one on clip 11, Eric. He mentions Morgan Rielly.
Yeah, some will for sure, we think. They just needed the day, and then some that we'll have to see where we're at tomorrow, both in guys that played last night and those that didn't, Morgan specifically. But, yeah, we'll just have to see where we're at tomorrow with a couple things to settle.
All right.
That was Morgan specifically on needing more time.
He's being extremely vague as usual.
Yeah.
But everybody needs more time.
They better put him in bubble wrap after what we saw last night.
I got to tell you, they can't win without Morgan Riley.
No.
Oh. They cannot.
Wow. No.
They put you on the radio with that day?
Well, listen, you can come in here and say they could win without it. Everyone tells me it's about the core four.
Yeah.
Core four, core four, core four. Yeah. They can win without one of those guys. They cannot win without Morgan Riley.
In the playoffs, they can win without one of the core four guys?
Unlikely.
Yeah.
But possible.
Well, they can't win with
more,
them.
More
so.
Possibly
yeah.
than...
Yeah. I don't get the sense Edmondson's coming back anytime soon either.
What are you talking about?
Well, I don't know what's wrong with him, but I know he blocked a few shots in Washington, and I don't know, deep bruise, a crack, I don't know.
Do you know?
I don't know. I'm telling you things. I don't.
That's such a good question.
No, I don't.
Then why'd you say
it?
I heard some things.
Because that's just the sense
I'm not
that I'm getting.
You what I know, I'm just telling you what I heard.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. So then he's gone.
Here you go.
You know how those things, they can heal in 10
Riley
days.
Riley can't play.
10 days.
Marner's still not available this week. Yarncroc, they haven't even given an update out. Or Pet's heads are falling
They're
off.
They're resting.
Oh, my God. Jeff Galooly out of Mitch Marner's house or something? His ankle keep getting re-hit? What is happening? He's not available all week.
Listen, keep throwing them to the Lions here. All these kids, better McMahon. Jumps in on a bad pinch, 12 games outside of the playoffs, so he can really drive in. You do that in the first round, we're done.
Yep. Can we listen to the Marner update? Is that fine?
Absolutely.
Give me clip stick.
I think the hope or plan was that we could get him going to be able to practice on Friday. I do not expect him to be available or even in. To consider him playing this week, but he looked really good out there today, and progress looks to be good. I think he's in a good place. We just got to continue to build him up.
The confidence on that some of these things you just mentioned, player health wise, can smooth himself.
He looked good. They showed a clip of him.
Bubble wrap.
He was spinning off nobody.
The question, if I was there, and if Luke Fox is listening, I know he always is. If I was at the media availability today, if tomorrow's game was a playoff game, would Mitch Marner be playing?
But does that answer matter if they're not playing him?
Yeah.
You know?
How...
You just want to know where it's at.
I want to know where it's at. I feel like that's a good gauge.
I feel like yes is the answer.
Okay. Kipper?
Listen, he finished the game where he tweaked his ankle.
They got medicine. They got all kinds of medicine that can make you play.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you need to play a game.
Tape an aspirin to it.
Yeah,
They'll
tape all kind of aspirin right into your bloodstream, buddy. They'll get you going.
What are you suggesting, Justin?
Just saying I think he'd be available.
Oh, that's fine.
All right, so...
All right, we solved nothing this hour.
So the Red Hot Caps come to town tomorrow, who just got a massive win last night against the Red Wings.
Can I just say a thing that I feel
like... And we're rather embarrassed by the Leafs a week ago.
Yes.
What are you going to say?
I'm going to say that... The Capitals did not want to make people available to us, it seems like, today, and they may have heard our Capitals takes. That's what I think about Ovi and the record.
Don't lump me into that.
No.
That's all Sammy.
I'm the guy calling. I'm the guy texting. And I didn't hear a whole lot.
PR gone dark on us for some mysterious reason after our boy is rooting.
What have I said?
Listen.
I've never said one bad thing.
It is quite the story if they sneak in here.
Yes, it is. I mean, Spencer Carberry and Andrew Brunette should get a lot of Jack Adams love.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So,
I will say, I know you absolutely loathe this kind of thing, but for me, as a fan, it would be cool to see Matthews get 60 in front of Ovi.
Again, head-to-head? Maybe that'll motivate him next game.
Ovi will have four last tonight night. Or tomorrow night. I'll get Ovi going.
Okay. Still hope, Leaf fans. Don't let last night discourage you or our first hour of the show.
We were really positive Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
Monday was our most positive
ever,
day of the year. So,
and we completely...
Yin and yang. Got to balance it out.
And they lost two in a row in regulation. Then, so what are you supposed
right
to do?
Right back. Okay. Still plenty more on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. At the top of the hour, we'll welcome in Jason Bukala, former NHL head scout. He'll give us a rundown on... Samsonov or Joseph Woll, who should be number one when the playoffs start. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.